Greetings, friends. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever overcome a bad habit? I did. I remember that when I was younger, before I went to college, I would eat ice cream for breakfast almost every day. Now, that's a bad habit. Thankfully, when I went to school, which was a Christian college, they taught the importance of a healthy diet. And so I had 3 meals per day, very healthy food. And then after I got out of college, I got married to a wonderful woman who's also very, very health conscious. And so she never let me fall back into that bad habit. She helped to solidify the good eating habits that I have to this day. Now, I'm not perfect. I still like my sweets. I still like ice cream, but I don't eat it for breakfast. That's one habit that I've overcome. And that's so enjoyable to overcome that habit. What about you? Have you overcome a bad habit? Perhaps your bad habit was staying out late at night, every night, just carousing around the town. And then you go to work the next day, drowsy, sleepy. In fact, maybe you've even been fired from a job. And perhaps that was the catalyst for you to overcome your bad habit, because you didn't want to be fired from any more jobs. And wasn't it a great and joyful thing when you overcame that bad habit? Perhaps it's something even more insidious. Perhaps it's a habit of taking drugs, drug addiction, or alcoholism. Perhaps you've been struggling with that, and now you've overcome it. Isn't that a great feeling to be released from that bad habit, to be now set free from drugs and set free from alcohol? Yes, that feels very, very good. Well, you know what? There's one habit that none of us can break, no matter how hard we try, and that is called the human nature habit. That's right, the human nature habit. That means that we just naturally, as human beings, are sinful. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. And when I say sinful, it means that we live a life contrary to God's laws. This is in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. It says here that even as through one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so too has death passed onto all men, because all have sinned. What this is saying is that through Adam, this one man, sin entered into the world when he disobeyed God. God set before him the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of life. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil represented Adam taking for himself the responsibility of determining what was right and wrong, and saying, in effect, God, I don't need you to tell me what's right and wrong. God, I got this. I can handle this. And what happened? He sinned. He couldn't handle it. He blew it. And so, as a result of his sin, death came, because the wages of sin is death. What he earned was the death penalty. And because we have been born from Adam and Eve, that same nature has passed on to us, where it's natural for us as human beings to live a life that's contrary to God. We want to do things our own way. We don't care what anybody says. We want to do what we want to do. And because of that, we all have sinned. Now let's turn over to Ephesians, the second chapter, and we'll read verses 2 through 3. This is in Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 2 through 3, that just reiterates the same point. Here it says, we once walked according to the course of this world. The course of the world, the way that the world was going, was sin, and is going, is sin. But we once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and that's Satan the devil, who is just injecting his thoughts, which is always in disobedience to God. He's injecting these thoughts over the airwaves. It's literally like we are a radio tuner, and we're picking up all of Satan's wavelengths, and we're simply following Satan the devil, who was the first one to rebel against God. Going on in the scripture, it says that we have this spirit in man that is also bolstered by the spirit of Satan that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom we also had our way of life in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the thoughts. And we were, catch this, we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others were. In other words, being the children of wrath by nature, it's by our very nature that it causes God's wrath to come upon us because we are in constant disobedience to God. That is, before God transforms us. And that's the good news that I want to bring to you today, is that God can transform us. God can, and God is the only one who can break this bad habit of human nature. So let's turn over now to 2 Peter chapter 1, and we'll read verse 4. This is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Here it says that God has given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, so that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature. This is God's nature now, where it becomes natural for us to walk in obedience to God, not in disobedience to God, but it becomes natural for us to walk in obedience to God. So we are partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The world has a certain course, and this course is the course of lust. Just whatever we want to do, just fulfilling our desires. Because, hey, it's all about me. That's what it's like. But God says, no, it's not all about you. Repent of who you are. Repent of what you are. Repent of what you do. And become like me. Now, more specifically, how does God do this? Well, let's turn over to Romans, the 8th chapter, and we'll read verses 1 through 10. This is Romans, the 8th chapter, and verses 1 through 10. This is like God's Alcoholics Anonymous program. That's what we're going to look at, is how God actually can transform us so that we can break this bad habit and kick it to the curb. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, or according to the prince of the power of the air, or according to the course of the world, as it said in Ephesians, the 2nd chapter. No, that's not us anymore. But now we walk according to the Spirit. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death, simply meaning that if we have Christ in us, then we will have a new spirit. We will love God. We will love our neighbors. We will be doing the right things for the right reasons. It's going to be natural to be in obedience to God, whereas before, we were under the law of sin and death, meaning that we simply had a carnal human nature, that we just followed the passions of our flesh, just doing whatever we dreamt of. That is sin, transgressing God's law. And when we transgress God's law, we bring upon ourselves the death penalty. So now we've been made free from that sinful way of life that leads to death. We have been set free to live in a newness of life, with the Spirit of God empowering us and transforming us. In verse 3 it says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. The law is simply a guideline teaching us how to live, but it cannot force us to go the right way. It's very much like a teacher telling a knuckleheaded, hard-headed student all the time, why don't you study? Why don't you do your homework? Why don't you pay attention in class? Well, you can yell at a kid all you want, but if that kid's heart is just set to do wrong, to be disobedient, to be a knucklehead, then you're not going to get through. And that's what it's like. God is telling us that the law is there to tell us the right things to do, but it's weak because of our flesh. It can't change our minds. It can't change our hearts. But what can? This is very important. This is God's Alcoholics Anonymous type of program, his 12-step program. Only here, it's 3 steps. It says here that God sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemns sin in the flesh. Jesus Christ gave up the glory of being God and came down to this earth and dwelt in flesh just like all of us. And then he died so that we can have remission of sins, so that once we repent of our sins, we can be baptized and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's how sin is condemned in the flesh. So that, in verse 4 it says, so that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. That's right. The righteousness of the law is to be fulfilled in us. Christ, who was the only one that lived perfectly according to the law, that never sinned, he, because he lives in us, will continue to live that same righteous way of life according to all of God's commandments and the law. And God is fulfilling this righteousness of the law in us because Christ is in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what it says, that we do not walk anymore according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now in verse 5, for they who are according to the flesh pay attention to the things of the flesh, but they who are according to the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. That's what our minds are on, our spiritual things. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is hostile against God, it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The human natural way of living, the carnal mind, this human nature, it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It's impossible. Adam and Eve didn't obey God. They transgressed God's law. They sinned. All of us have the same nature, and it's impossible for any of us to do right by God. The only one who can do right by God is God himself. And that's why it says in verse 8, so then, they who are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God dwells in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, then he is not a Christian. And if Christ is in you, indeed the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And so it is through God dwelling in us that we can break this bad habit that's called human nature, and we can take on God's divine nature. All we have to do is follow God's 3-step plan. And step number 1 is to repent of our sins, meaning to turn away from breaking God's law. Step number 2 is to be baptized, which is our commitment to follow God's law. And step number 3 is to accept Christ living in us, realizing that Christ will fulfill this law of righteousness in us. Well, thanks for joining me on this program. I hope you'll come back for the next program, where we'll discuss the practical applications of Christ living according to the righteousness of the law in us.